So very good to be with you today. I'm so glad to have my granddaughter Alexis here. Anel sends her love. As I was leaving this morning, she so wanted to be here and go with me, but the pain is still there when she sits for a long period of time and the ride. But the Lord has blessed us so much and blessed her because of her attitude towards things and towards the help and comfort of Jesus Christ. That love that God has put in her heart. And it's so important, the attitude we take towards life and looking towards our God above. And sometimes we dwell on the things that are not the best things to think about. We all have tribulation. We all have troubles. Our country's in peril, seems like, from every side. But that's a battle of the Lord, like David said. It's the Lord's battle. It's not ours. We are to pray to Him for all things and walk as we should walk, that His love might abound more and more. Our dear friend prayed this morning about a scripture that's on my mind. Hopefully it's not something that I have come up with. So often we struggle as preachers to what should we have to say, or and then we pray and have faith in God, and it seems He gives us words that we might share with one another in our calling for God's beauty and His love, that the gospel might be preached. The 12th chapter of Romans begins, as our brother prayed, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now this living sacrifice is not the sacrifice that we would think in our minds. This is more of a putting self behind and looking towards the one that gave the ultimate sacrifice for us and His love. And it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." That to me is an astounding statement, that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So often we go about in this life thinking upon the wrong things, worrying about our problems, thinking that things are not going to be very good, or it's not going to proceed the way we'd want it. But the Apostle Paul is telling us here to renew our minds. He says, "By renewing your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It is not the will of God that you have a negative connotation in your mind about what the day will bring. It is God that worketh in you to will and do of His good pleasure. And His good pleasure Underline good is good.
Amen.
It's not something that we would come up with. It's not something that would be self-satisfying or self-proclaiming, but it is His will. That is that sacrifice that we make, which gives us the abundance of life in Christ. It's not a sacrifice that it's going to hurt or it's going to be a bad thing or that we are doing something that we don't want to do, maybe so in the flesh, but as we get out of the flesh, then we're getting into the Spirit. And the Spirit is what we want in this day and every minute that we live in this life. Because the Spirit is fresh. It's renewing. It can renew our minds. It can put us in a situation of thinking that I am thankful because we have so many blessings, and yet we concentrate on the things of the world that gives us problems. It's so amazing, I catch myself from time to time thinking of the wrong things. But this scripture tells us God has given us the scriptures that we may understand. And He says, be ye thankful.
Amen.
It's such a precious thing that we can renew our own minds and get away from the things that of the tribulations of this world. It's a wonderful, be ye transformed. It's a transformation. It's a change in the way that we think.
Amen.
The way that we look at things. If we look at things through Christ, all things are well.
Yes.
All things. We're no longer worried about the problems we have in physical pain or whatever. Like the stoning of Stephen. Yeah, he was stoned to death.
Right.
And yet was looking at Christ as Christ stood up for him. It's an amazing thing that we have a God that we have and what He has put inside of us and filled our hearts with that we may concentrate on those things.
Amen.
It seems like of late, Brother Gary has been preaching on a text that's been on my mind so often. And it begins in Colossians in the 3rd chapter. And he says, put on therefore the elect of God, holy and beloved. This is the 12th verse of the 3rd chapter of Colossians. Holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Now, it's the flesh and the idea of not forgiving and hating others that the flesh gets into.
Yeah.
Why did that man cut me off in traffic? I mean, why do we think of that? We should think all good things of others. Have compassion on that 90-year-old that's driving or whatever. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body.
Yes.
And he says it all right here. And be ye thankful.
Amen.
If you are counting your blessings, if you are thinking on the good things, you can drown out all the troubles of this life. You can drown out all the problems that our Congress is having. You can lay it all upon the refuge of the Lord. What a wonderful place that we have. And we can renew our own minds by counting our blessings. Something that simple, something that easy, is to think upon the blessings that we have. Think of them all the time. The more you think of goodness, the more good you're going to feel in your heart. That's the way God made us, brothers and sisters. Amen. If we concentrate on the negative, if we concentrate on the things that are tearing us down, if we concentrate on the fears of the devil, we have one that is so much stronger than he.
Yeah.
We are our own worst enemies sometimes in this life. We go around with our heads down and we say, oh, the troubles that I have. Oh, what problems I have. Oh, what kind of a problem this world is in. And yet we have, as our brother prayed, that kingdom of heaven that we may enter in, that we may look at the good things, that we might look from things above, not below, not worry about the pits of this life or the mire and the muck that gets on us, but think upon the good things. I've got to go to some scriptures that I believe has helped me more than anything in my life. I think helps us all, and it's not all about me, it's about us together. What can we learn from what the Apostle Paul has told us by the inspiration of God? Let me go into Philippians. If you want to understand how you're supposed to live, I've got to run over and read a little bit in the 100th Psalm.
Okay.
And then I'll get back to Philippians. But this song, this psalm, my dear wife got me interested in this psalm. You know, I was reading this, reading that. She says, just sit down and read the 100th Psalm. From time to time, I read this, and I would recommend that you read it from time to time. Because it says so much about God and the pleasantries and the good things of God and how to be thankful. It says in the first verse, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us. He is our Creator. He has created the entire environment and the world. It's a wonderful thing that we have a relationship with the God of all creation. And not we ourselves, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. When you're thankful, you understand that God is above all. He gives us all blessings. He is the one that has inspired us into the right thoughts in this life, and that He has told us in this world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, is what Jesus has said. There is nothing in this world that can get you down if you're looking towards that light, which is Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful, marvelous thing that we have to get through the turmoil of this world. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. That, my friends, is something worthy of our attention, that we might follow just the basic things that God has told us in order to get through the calamities of this life, That if we are thankful, that if we are looking at the light and not staring in the darkness, then all things are well. All things are in Christ. Yeah. Philippians 4th chapter. Rejoice in the Lord. Always, and again I say rejoice.
Amen.
Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He is there. He is here. He is at hand.
Amen.
Be careful for nothing. We're so anxious about the pitfalls of this life. Be careful for nothing. You have an eternity with the God of all creation. Do you believe that? Do you have faith within your heart? Do you believe God? Do you believe in God? Like Abraham. In the old scriptures it says that Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In the New Testament, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Do you believe in the Lord? Do you believe God and what He says? It's all accounted to you as righteousness. What hath Abram found according to the flesh is what it says. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing that we can, in this life, look to Him and His light will shine and He will be found of you. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. It's not some things, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving.
Amen.
That's very key. That we thank Him for our blessings. That we recognize that it is a good thing that He has blessed us with. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto Him. It's not to let Him know what you want, because He knows what
Already.
You want.
Amen.
It's to let yourself know that He is in charge. It is all about Him. Let your request be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, which do you want? He says, I put before thee a blessing and a curse. Are we to choose the blessing? So often we choose the curse. We think in the negative ways. We think about the wrong things. There is life to live beyond that.
Amen.
We are to live for Jesus Christ, walk in His steps. You never saw Jesus in a negative, down way as He walked. He was always about the Father's business. And the Father's business is good, it's hope, it's love, it's all the things that we feel so blessed with by a blessing of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all those things are fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
It's so precious that we get those things from the Spirit. I want us to feel the Spirit of God this morning. I want Him to be with us. And I feel like He is. He's in the midst of us. Yes, He is. It's just recognizing and looking at Him. Looking at the light. Living in the light. Not in the darkness. For the darkness is past. We have a Savior. We have one that showed us how to live in this life. Finally, brethren, what does He say here? It's about renewing your mind. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
Amen.
That's renewing your mind, my dear brothers and sisters. If there's any virtue, if there's any praise into God, think on these things.
Amen.
You are blessing God and your relationship with Him when you think on the right things.
Amen.
Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have that capability because Jesus Christ lives in you. It's a precious thing that we have, my dear brothers and sisters. My prayer is that we continue in love and have that Spirit of God within us as we walk in this life. Thank you for your good attention and time.
Bless your heart. I would like to thank God for that. Amen. For the truth. Need your prayers, my brother.
Do desire an interest in your prayers as I stand before you for a little while this morning. I am so thankful for Brother Darrell's visit. I feel the Lord truly has blessed us to think about the goodness and the mercy of the Lord, and how good the Lord is to His children, how wonderful He's been to each of us, and reminding us to be thankful because of what the Lord has done for us. I'd like to read in your hearing the 73rd Psalm. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn there with me. I encourage you to do that. Psalm 73, Psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than the heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. And all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awaketh, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. This first verse declares what the psalmist really is saying throughout the entirety of the psalm. It's just, he goes from a position of one place seeming to be so high up to another place of being so downcast. And as you read this psalm, you'll see the highs and lows that the psalmist goes through. It's one of the reasons I love reading the psalms, because when you're feeling real good, you can find psalms that that really meet at where you meet you where you are. That calls that 100th psalm. You know how precious it is to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And when you're really happy, it's a wonderful psalm to read and to sing and to think about. When you think about the psalms and how they're written, they're written to be sung. I mean, they're the things we're to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our heart to the Lord. And if you ever noticed, a lot of our singing, a lot of the songs that we sing, many of the words come directly from the psalms. We have a couple here that just jump out. It says, let me see, as I was reading it, it says, whom have I in heaven but thee? That's in our hymns. And there is none on earth beside thee. Whom in heaven? I believe that's in the hymn, Pass Me Not, oh, gentle Savior. And we're singing a lot of times words that come right. That's why the songs are so good, because they come out of God's Word. They're part of God's inspired Word. This first verse tells us truly, that's absolutely true, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. The message from the Bible is for every one of us today as God's little children. If we're part of Israel, if we're part of God's chosen people, now I don't believe this is just talking about the nation Israel, even though God was good to the nation Israel. If you look at the Old Testament, you'll see of all the people in the Old Testament, there was none like Israel. Israel was chosen not because they were the greatest number of people, but rather they were one of the fewest. And God didn't choose them because they were special or good. God chose them in spite of all their faults and all their failures. But God's hand was upon the nation of Israel, and God blessed them. Wasn't every people that God blessed to bring out of captivity. Wasn't every people that God fed with manna in the wilderness. Wasn't every people that God gave Canaan's land to. It wasn't every people that got the law and got the teachings of the prophets and all the benefits of the law service as it pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the nation of Israel were chosen as a natural, as God's natural people, and were chosen as that. And that was a picture of what God did spiritually to spiritual Israel, which really is made up of, out of all people, out of every nation, out of every kindred, and out of every tongue. The Lord has a chosen elect people. We read about them in Ephesians chapter 1, where he says, according as he had chosen us in Christ before the very foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And what a wonderful thing to know that the Lord has a chosen people. And you know, and knowing about a chosen people is a blessing, but feeling to be part of those, or one of those that he has chosen, is even a greater and a more wonderful blessing. To feel like the Lord has indeed dealt with me. I hope today you feel as if the Lord has indeed dealt with you in your life. If he hasn't dealt with you, I really don't understand why you would be here, or why you would desire to be hearing about a God who made a choice of a people, or why you would have a desire to love him. We know that if you love him, it's because he first loved you. If you have the ability to believe in him, it's because he gave you faith, which is the fruit of the Spirit. We've already heard that preached, to enable you to believe in him. And if you have felt his hand and his touch upon your life, and I believe today if we could sit down and talk together for a little while, you could tell me a whole list of things where God had directly intervened in your life and been with you in your life and had manifested his presence. Has not the Lord been with you as you've gone through life and its troubles and its difficulties? Well, if the Lord has been with you in that special way, it isn't because you were so special that he was with you. It's because you're special because he made choice of you in a covenant of grace, even before the very foundation of the world, the Lord foreknew you, He saw you, He loved you, and He predestinated you to be conformed to the image of His Son. And all of that is because He loved you. And the Lord who loved you has secured heaven and immortal glory for you by sending His only begotten Son into this world, who came because He loved you, who was one with the Father, the eternal Son of God. He died on the cross, paid the sin debt for you, so that one day you will be with Him in heaven and immortal glory. He also has supplied to us every single blessing we've had here in this time world. And I'm not talking about just a few of your blessings, some of your blessings, maybe one or two of your blessings. I'm talking about every blessing you've ever received from the day you began in your life at conception to the time you leave this world, and even beyond that, every good thing coming down from above. And I look at my life, and I look at the people in my life, and I look at the fellowship I've had in the Lord's church and among the children of God, and I think about how the Lord has walked with me and taught with me and been with me a long night's way in the darkest and most difficult times. And I can say with old brother Asaph, who wrote this a long, long time ago, truly, God is good to Israel. And I feel like I'm part of Israel. No, I'm not a Jew in the sense of my natural upbringing or my natural bloodline. I'm not that. I'm a Gentile, and you know, a Gentile who's against the things of God, contrary to the things of God, an alien to the commonwealth of Israel, one that would not have had any peace or any desire to be walking with the Lord. That's where I would have been. But God along the way changed me and has worked a work of grace in me. And that's my hope and that's my trust, that I'm a new creature. Old things pass away and all things have been made new. And all those things are of God. And those things, by the way, are all good things. God doesn't do anything but good things. That's what God does. He does good things. God helps us in our troubles and in our trials. I want you to know, though, that sometimes God's little children forget that. Because they start seeing the world, and it seems like everybody in the world is getting along a whole lot better than we are. And we look out among the wicked, and we see those out in the world, and it seems like they don't have any trouble, if they don't have any problems, they don't have any conflicts. And if you don't understand that, this is what this brother saw in his life as he looked around him. He saw, is my trusting in the Lord been of any benefit? Has been any benefit that I know about Him? It seems like my life is going the wrong way. It seems like everything's turning out the wrong way. It seems like rather than getting better in my life, as a matter of fact, I have a little sister a long time ago who told me one time, she said, "Brother Gary, ever since I've been baptized, things have gotten terrible. And it seems like everything is going wrong." Now, listen, it wasn't that everything was going wrong. It was the old devil was throwing everything he could at her in every way that he could, to try to get her to feel just like God's little children get sometimes in this world when you face the temptations and the troubles in life. Listen, the wicked don't have all those battles. The wicked don't have a conscience to deal with when they do wrong. They can do it without any problem. Be thankful you have a conscience that gets in your way and troubles you. The wicked doesn't have any bands, as he said here. He said, he said, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart." Now, who is it that has a clean heart? Now, that's not talking about natural Israel, because there was a blessed people, natural Israel, but not all of them were of Israel. That's what he says in Romans, isn't it? He said, not all Israel is of Israel. In other words, there is an Israel that's special among the Israel of God. There is an Israel. What's he talking about? There is God's chosen people among the children of Israel. There's also God's chosen people among the Gentiles and among the nations of this world. The Lord's people are as innumerable as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore, an innumerable company out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people. And the Lord works in them a clean heart. I'm glad it's not up to you and me to get our heart clean. You know why? Because the Bible says it's impossible for us to do that. He says the heart of man is what? It's deceitful. It'll fool you. It's a lie. It's lying. The heart of man is deceitful and not, he didn't say and a little wicked, it says and desperately wicked, and it goes on and says, who can know it? Who can know it? Some people say if you just give your heart to the Lord, I'm telling you, if the Lord hadn't changed your heart, if the Lord hadn't touched your heart, if the Lord hadn't washed your heart, given you a clean heart, and when does He do that? He does that in regeneration. He works in you that which you don't have otherwise. And you are raised from a state of death and sin to a state of life in Christ, and then you have a clean heart, and God's little children are given a clean heart when they're born of the Spirit of God. They're given a heart that's washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, as for me, he goes on, even to such as are of clean heart, he says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. You ever been there in life? Where you're just about to give up. Everything's going wrong. Nothing's working out right. Has the Lord clean gone and left me? Have I done something wrong? Or is he even there? You say, would a little child of God ever get to questioning that and wondering about that? Let me tell you, here's a brother written in Scripture for us. He's writing here for us to let us know God's little children can get to that depth of despair. He says, as for me, my feet were almost gone. Now get this, they weren't clean gone, they were almost gone. He says, my steps had well nigh slipped. They hadn't slipped altogether. You won't ever fall completely out of the love and the watch care of God. He tells us that in verse 23. He said, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. You know why we'll be continually with Him? Because He's got a hold of us, not because we have a hold of Him. And you know the one who's only, it's like a little child and a parent. A little child might try to pull away, but a good parent's going to hold on. Doesn't matter how much a child is pulling away, because they love that child and they're going to keep that child. Even if the child's looking at that parent and says, I hate you. You know, you might have been one who've experienced what sometimes we experience in our life when you correct your children. They get mad at you. And if they don't say it to your face, they might go out the room and say, I hate them. They should never say it. They really don't mean it, but they're just not getting their way, so they get upset. You know who else does that? God's little children. When we get out of the way and we don't get our way and we get upset. We get upset with the Lord. We get upset with our circumstances. We get upset with what's going on in our life. We don't understand. We don't know as He knows. We're hurt and we don't know what to say. Isn't it a good thing? Though we say that, the Lord never cares, never loses His love for His children. He loves them. He died. He sent His Son to die for them, and He will have them with Him. No matter what, you cannot get away from Him. Why? Because thou hast holden me by my right hand. And now get this. It didn't say I reached up and grabbed God and held on. That's what the world teaches. If you want to be His, you reach up and grab God and hold on. I'm telling you, you can't reach up. You're dead in sins. You can't reach up. You can't grab Him because it's impossible to grab Him. You can't hold on because you're weak and your flesh is weak. And if it was up to you to hold on, as we cannot do the things that we would. There's a desire in us to hold on, but we're just as sure as we have that desire, we have a flesh that's prone to wander. And it's weak. It's weak. But does that mean we don't have any hope? Oh no, I'm telling you, here's a hope. Our hope isn't that we're holding on to Him. He's holding on to us. Is He holding on to you today? Let me tell you, I don't have to speculate about that. Now, whether you're holding on to Him or not, I might speculate about it. Whether I'm holding on to Him or not, I surely speculate a lot about it. But whether He's holding on to me, listen, if He reached down and touched me, He who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's holding on to you because He loved you. He'll stop holding on when He stops loving you. And the Bible says He will never stop loving you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that good news? I hope so. I pray that it is for you. If it is, you're Israel. And you have a clean heart given to you by Almighty God. And you might get to where you look at everybody else. And if you read this, as we read this, you can see as we look at the wicked and we look at the evil in this world, we see that there is seemingly now at this point, there doesn't seem to be many consequences for going that way. because it seems like they get along good. Well, you see, this is all they get. And that's what he came to. You could read from verse 3 all the way down to verse 16, and you see the despair in this brother as he's just about to give up and say it's all just a waste of time. Praying's a waste of time. Coming to church is a waste of time. Trusting God is a waste of time, because it seems like the wicked are getting along in this world a whole lot better than me. But then, remember, he wrote that first verse to let us know where he was really at, and now he's coming back to it when he says, until, that's where he was at, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Let me tell you, the end of the wicked is not a pretty picture. And you and I should never be envious of them. The end of those that are walking contrary to the things of God in this world, who have no idea or thoughts about God, no conscience about it, no concern about it. And by the way, that would be you and me, were it not for the grace of Almighty God. It wasn't us who got ourselves in a better position. It wasn't something we did. It was the Lord who came to where we were and gave us something different. Never should we ever look at them and say, oh, I wish I was them and not me. When the Lord has been so good to us, we ought to be, as you said, be ye what? Thankful. Thankful for what? Thankful for sometimes even when you go through in afflictions and troubles and heartaches and problems. Because though the wicked doesn't have them in this world, what they're looking for, what they have to that will face them in eternity is the eternal judgment of God, which will be cast and poured down upon them. And that should grieve us in the sense, not that we're happy they get that, but that we ought to be so very thankful that God has seen fit to spare us. And even though we're suffering a little bit here in time, one day we're going to be carried out of this old troubled world and be with the Lord forever. He says, listen to what he said. Until I went to the sanctuary, verse 17, of God, then understood I therein. What did he find at the sanctuary of God? That's where the scriptures preach. That's where prayer is wont to be made. That's where God's little children remind one another what a blessing it is to have the Lord. Isn't it a blessing in the midst of all your trouble? You have the Lord to look to. You have Him to pray to. When things aren't working out, you have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, who will be with you at all times and loveth you at all times. He goes on and he says, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awaketh. So, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. In other words, when I'm thinking this way, I am thinking in the flesh. We get in the flesh, and I'm just in ignorance. When I go to the sanctuary, to the house of God, and we hear a good brother come and tell us, you know, what to do as far as trusting in the Lord and leaning upon Him, and the peace which passes understanding will keep your mind and your heart and your soul. And as we trust in the Lord, we're not like that old heath bush that's dried up. We're like a tree planted by the water that brings forth its fruit in all seasons. That roots run deep, so when the drought comes, when the problems come, we have someone to lean on and someone to trust in and depend upon. And the one we're dependent upon cannot and will not fail. We can lean on Him at all times. And then we find what we stand in need of. He says, nevertheless, I am even so foolish, even though I was there, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holding me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. And that's what I believe the Lord sends His preachers to do. And He also has given us His word to guide. But that's what did the Apostle Paul said? He had not shunned to declare unto them all the counsel of God. And that is that he would preach what? Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And you and I need this word in our life as a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path to guide us along life's way. Our loins are to be girt about with this truth. And our feet, we're to have it, this as a preparation of the gospel, is to be on our feet to help us in our walk and how we live and talk in this world. He says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward, after that, after my life is over, what's going to happen? He says, receive me to glory. And how in this world would it be possible for you and I to ever be received to glory? Because there's the one who died for us on the cross, who shed his blood. We've been washed in that precious blood. And he is the door, he is the way. Jesus is our everything. And he goes on and he says, whom am I in heaven but thee? Who's in heaven but him? None. And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Of all the things we ought to want to go to heaven for, you know, there are many blessings that I look forward to by the grace of God one day of enjoying in heaven. But the most wonderful thing, the most important thing, is to see my Savior face to face, and to see him face to face, and to be able to thank him, and to walk with him and fall before him and have fellowship with him and know all that he's done for me. What a glorious, wonderful blessing that will be. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. I need him today, don't you? I need him to walk with me and help me. And he said he's going to continually be with us. He says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. And that doesn't mean we'll ever get them all declared, but that ought to be what we're doing. And when we leave this old world, there'll be more to be said than we've ever said. But I'll tell you, the best thing you can do in your life is be declaring the wonderful works of Almighty God. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believeth unto the righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. God's little children ought to be confessing him with their mouth. Be careful what you say. May our words, may the thoughts of our heart, the words of my mouth, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. May the Lord bless us. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
We're going to stand and sing 384. As we do, we publish the Open Door to Church. There'll be one or more here this morning who love the Lord, have a desire to take up the cross and follow him in baptism, a desire to unite with his church and walk along with us in life. As the Lord will lead you and direct you, we let you make your feelings known to the church, your desire to do that. Those who ought to do that are those who the gospel pricks in their heart. Those who love the Lord. This is a way, one of the ways, not the only way, but certainly an important way that we show that we love him, and by keeping his commandments. And he's the one that says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Doesn't wash away your sin, doesn't make you'll be just as much a sinner afterwards as before. But it is an answer of a good conscience towards God. And it says, for the remission of sins means because your sins have been remitted by the blood of Jesus Christ, this is what you ought to do. And it'll give you a peace, so you won't have any other way. 384. My latest sun is sinking fast. My race is nearly run. My strongest trials now are past, my triumph is begun. Oh, come, angel band, come and around me stand. Oh, bear me away on your snowy wings to my mortal home. To my immortal
kindred dear, I am rush of you on Jordan's banks, the crossing must be near. Oh, come, angel band, come and around me stand, oh, carry away on your snowy wings to my immortal home. Oh, carry away on your snowy wings to my
church this afternoon at 2:30. Love to have any and all that go with us and be there. We'd love to have you. Keep that little church in your prayers. Do look forward to being there this afternoon, the Lord willing. Other announcements that you know of? Next Sunday is 2:30 in the afternoon, the Lord willing. Any other announcements?
Their her second birthday and his baby shower thing, I believe it's the 24th Sunday of this month. That's 2:30 downstairs.
That's fourth Sunday,
or Sunday
afternoon at 2:30.
Yes.
Okay. And is it birth?
It's her second birthday party and baby shower.
His baby shower. Okay. All right. She's on the phone right now.
So she missed anybody.
Okay. If anybody got missed, it wasn't intentional. Please feel free to come. They tried to reach everybody they could. So, anything else that anyone had? All right. We really appreciate seeing each and every one that come to be with us today. Really appreciate our visitors so much. Please come back and be with us whenever you can.
Continue to pray for this little church and our sister churches, one another, the Lord's people, for our nation. Be you thankful. The Lord's been so good to us all. And may the Lord bless us to truly be thankful in spite of all the things that sometimes don't seem to be going so well. The Lord, when we think about it and count our blessings, is more than we can grasp. How good He's been, how good the Lord has truly been to us. All minds are clear, we'll stand and look to the Lord and dismiss you. And Brother Mike, if you'll dismiss us in a word of prayer, my brother.
Rosie was kind of hoping we would sing happy birthday to her again this week.
Rosie wants that.
One more time.
Happy birthday. Little Rosie. Any others?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
No way.
She's acting.
Held up. Held up.
That was funny.